Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. State lawmakers are expected to approve a bill that could expand the right to conceal and carry a firearm on college campuses, in daycare centers, at airports, and possibly even police stations. The measure has attracted particular attention after last week's vehicle and knife attack on the OSU campus. OSU President Michael Drake said at the time that he hoped lawmakers would resist the urge.
I know this is a controversial bill, but I would just say that, you know, we are comfortable with professionals dealing with situations like this. And we had, again, on our campus just a few days ago, a circumstance where the threat was neutralized within 1 minute and injuries were kept to a minimum. And we think that's how things are designed to work.
Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau reporter Andy Chow has been covering the issue. He joins us now. Welcome back, Andy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So the focus has been on colleges and universities because of last week's attack at the OSU campus. Where else would concealed carry be allowed as the bill's written so far?
As you said, daycares. So these are all places that are in state law listed automatically as a place that's banned for carry concealed. So this would allow people to carry concealed on college campuses, daycares, airport terminals, the area of the airport before you pass through TSA.
Okay.
Police stations, sheriff's offices, and state government buildings. And the caveat for state government buildings is it would lift the ban in state government buildings that are all not already guarded in some way. So, for example, the state house has a lot of security.
Uh-huh.
They have troopers. They have metal detectors. So in a case like that, that would still be banned from people carrying concealed.
Is that why? Because
that's the argument from people who are for this bill. They say that they want people to be able to carry concealed because if they have their license, then they are considered, the term has been used, a good guy with a gun. And so the thought is that if you expand this, if you allow places to have people carry concealed, then they can neutralize a threat if something like that were to happen.
But they exempt places like the state house and courthouses because
there are already armed officers, armed security on the premises. So going back to what President Drake said, the vehicle and knife attack that happened on campus last week, OSU has a big, strong police department. Supporters of this bill say that's not the case for all of college campuses around Ohio, especially the community colleges in rural areas. And the thought behind this bill is that they want to allow students or staff or faculty to carry concealed weapons on those college campuses because maybe you're in a rural campus that does not have a police department or some sort of armed security. And so if something were to happen in a smaller college, the nearest police station might be 20 minutes away.
Would this give college administrators any leeway in banning where on campus you could conceal carry?
So college campus, this gives local control to the university still.
Okay.
So OSU has a ban on concealed carry already.
Mm-hmm.
That would still remain in place. And from what we've been hearing from OSU, no matter what happens with this bill, they still want to ban concealed carry.
And they could.
They could, and they likely will. So no matter what happens with this bill, in all likelihood, concealed carry will still be banned on OSU's campus. But like we were talking with those rural college campuses, the Board of Trustees at one of those smaller colleges could say, hey, we do want to allow people to carry concealed, and so therefore they have the right to do that. There's no longer that overriding state law hovering over them.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about efforts in the Ohio General Assembly to expand conceal carry gun rights in the state of Ohio. I'm talking with Andy Chow. He's a reporter for the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau. Coming up, we're going to hear from a reporter in Texas where a similar bill went into effect in August. We'll also hear from folks on both sides of the issue. Of course, there's many sides to this issue, depending on where you sit, where you work, that sort of a thing. But we're going to hear from two sides of that. This is the first I've kind of heard about this rural aspect to it. When did that come into play?
The Senate took testimony on that the day after the OSU attack. Okay. And I don't think it was already scheduled to have a hearing. It was already in play before everything happened. But that's been something that's been batted around for a while. The idea of not all college campuses are the same. And the Ohio Association of Community Colleges, the group that represents all of Ohio's community colleges, is a supporter of this bill. They showed up at the Senate committee and testified that Ohio is a diverse state. It has a lot of big urban schools, a lot of big universities, but they do also have these smaller colleges. And they brought up some campuses where the local law enforcement is 10 or 20 minutes away. And that's been a big argument. And so what Senator Coley, who is the chair of that Senate committee, he is a Republican. He has said all this bill does is give local control over to these areas. So this does not automatically allow people to carry concealed, let's say, on daycares, because these daycare business owners can still decide on their own to make it a gun-free zone.
Mm-hmm. Law enforcement groups have opposed expanding the right to carry in police stations. What's the likelihood that that will stay in the bill?
It sounds like because
of all places.
Right. And it sounds like that is one of the provisions that might be lifted out of this bill. And a committee meeting is happening as we speak. Mm-hmm. And again, Chair Coley has mentioned that that seems like something that they're going to either adjust or get rid of. He seemed to be on board with the idea that maybe it's not great to allow people to carry concealed into police stations and into sheriff's offices. It's kind of like the airport terminals where once you get past TSA, you wouldn't be allowed to. What they're saying is there's this public part of a police station, and under the bill as it stands now, you could carry concealed into that public part of the police station, but then if you were to go past a certain threshold, then you couldn't. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like that's a fight that neither the Republicans or the Democrats want to have. So it sounds like that they're going to lift it out of the bill.
Is support for this pretty much along party lines?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely what you would think it would be. Republicans are very strongly in support of this. Democrats very much don't like this bill. They've called it the guns everywhere bill. It's not as controversial as some of the other gun bills we've seen in this past General Assembly, but it is one of those bills that has really bothered a lot of Democrats. And like I said, they've called it the guns everywhere bill. A big thing that opponents have brought up is this idea of daycares, because there are a lot of gun deaths that happen with toddlers because of whatever circumstance, but usually
they see the gun as a toy and it's accidental, right?
And so the argument there from the other side is that, well, that usually happens inside a home. Usually a parent or a guardian does not lock up a gun the right way. But we don't really have statistics talking about more along the lines of public places or places like daycares.
How has Governor Kasich responded to this measure?
Well, as with mainly every legislative effort, he stays pretty hush-hush about things. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those things that we really haven't heard anything from the governor on. There have been other issues where he has been outspoken. For example, the green energy standards. He has made it a point to go out in public and say that if he doesn't like what he sees, that he would veto it. Mm-hmm. Since we haven't really heard anything from him on this issue, on the concealed carry issue, I would imagine that it's not something that he's willing to stand against or veto.
Doesn't feel that strongly about it one way or the other.
Right.
Was there a particular case out there in a community college setting that inspired this?
And no, and that's kind of been the argument from opponents. They say that the only people who are really calling for this are the gun lobbyists. NRA was at the Senate yesterday to speak for the bill. Mm-hmm. And so there's a big thought out there that nobody's really calling for this other than the gun lobby.
Did the question arise with the testimony from the community college people that having concealed carry on campus could actually create problems?
That has been brought up many times. And so let's go back to the attack on OSU's campus. Mm-hmm. 2 days after the attack, a lot of students who found themselves on campus during the active shooter situation came to the state house to testify against the bill. Mm. And what they said through their perspective was that if students were allowed to carry concealed in that situation, they saw things going down much, much worse because they fear that there would be too many people trying to be a hero, too many people who don't know who the bad guy is, who the good guy is.
The time the police do show up.
Right.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
And another big thing that a lot of students brought up was, so let's say the attacker in that situation who had a knife was brought down by a student who may have been carrying concealed. Then when the police show up, how does the police officer know? How does the police officer distinguish who's the good guy, who's the bad guy in this situation? And so what they're saying is bringing more guns into a situation just causes more confusion.
And how do supporters respond to that argument?
A big response that we've heard is that if you're going to carry concealed, you have to have a permit, which means you have to get training. And you get 8 hours of training in order to get your concealed carry permit. And throughout that training, you learn how to handle situations. And so, for example, going back to that scenario, if a police officer were to show up, you would drop your gun or put your hands in the air or drop to the ground immediately. People who are gun rights activists, advocates, have said that if you are carrying concealed, you know what the right thing to do is in that scenario and the wrong thing to do in that scenario.
So 8 hours of training. How much training do police officers get?
More than that. I can't remember the specifics, but more than that, and it's actually been raised in the past couple of years to try to get even more training. But I think it's way more
for police officers, and they're actually trying to lower the amount of training you need for a concealed carry permit, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. In Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Andy Chow, everything could be changed by tonight, but for now, I appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
It's Andy Chow. He's a reporter for the Ohio Public Radio Statehouse News Bureau. Coming up, we're going to hear from a reporter in Texas, where a similar law was enacted and went into effect in August. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Ohio lawmakers today are expected to approve a measure that would expand to college campuses and daycare centers the right to carry a concealed weapon. That is, with the consent of administrators of those institutions. In August, a similar law went into effect in Texas. Joining us by phone, Texas Tribune higher education reporter Matthew Watkins. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
The Texas law, does it just affect college and university campuses, or was it broader?
That's right. It just affected college and university campuses. And basically, the rule was that if you had a concealed handgun license, you could take your gun onto college campuses into campus buildings, with a handful of exceptions that were set by the university president that were, you know, very narrow, not on daycare facilities, not at football stadiums, things like that.
And but the university administrations could decide whether or not to allow this.
Every university administration had to allow campus carry, but the universities were allowed to carve out what were called gun-free zones, and they were limited in what they could do with that, but they did have that power.
Have most of them availed themselves of that power?
They have, but there was a lot of debate in Texas. So the law was passed in 2015, but didn't go into effect until this August. And the schools went through a long process of kind of trying to figure out where they can and cannot allow guns. The faculties on a lot of the campuses were asking them to ban guns in classrooms and, you know, a lot of other places, faculty offices, things like that. That didn't end up happening at any of the universities. Kind of the decision was that if that had happened, the lawmakers in Texas here were going to come back and take away that power from administrators in 2017. So basically in any public university in Texas right now, if you have a concealed handgun license, you can take your handgun to class with you.
I think I read in the New York Times that some people quit their jobs over this.
That's right. So the most high-profile case was an architecture dean at the University of Texas. The UT architecture program is kind of one of their proudest programs there. And he left, took a job back at his alma mater at Penn. And one of the main reasons he cited for that was this campus carry law. I think, you know, another place, if you talk to administrators about how this has affected them, has been in recruiting. So, you know, you're trying to steal a professor from a California school or a Florida school or something like that. They hear about this campus carry law and maybe they're not as interested as they were before.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Ohio lawmakers today are expected to approve and send to the governor for his signature a bill that would permit concealed carry in places like colleges, universities, daycare centers, entry areas in airports, that sort of thing. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. Right now I'm talking with Matthew Watkins. He's a higher education reporter for the Texas Tribune. They enacted a similar law that went into effect in August in Texas. So there was a lot of opposition at the outset, right? You wrote last week that the opposition has settled down. What do you make of that?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, there's still professors on campus who are opposed to it, but at least among administrators and really just, it, like you said, it's died down. There's not a protest anymore, things like that. You know, I think one of the reasons is that it turned out that, you know, there's not a lot of students on college campuses who have concealed handgun licenses. In Texas, you have to be 21 or older to get one. So that kind of automatically cancels out a large chunk of undergraduates. And the number of people in their 20s in Texas who have these licenses is pretty low. So I know the University of Texas administrators estimated that less than 1% of their students actually have a handgun license. So this law has been in effect for about 4 months now, and really life hasn't changed that much on campus. There were a lot of protests at the beginning, but there's really only one gun incident that I'm aware of that you could directly attribute to that law. That was at a small university here in Texas called Tarleton State, where basically a student accidentally fired his gun off in his dorm room. No one was hurt or anything. You know, obviously kind of something you don't want to have happen in your dormitories. Beyond that, you know, people aren't really seeing guns on campus.
Is it just about students? I mean, won't employees be able to carry guns as well?
That's right. Employees, faculty, really even just visitors to campus, as long as you have the license, you're allowed to carry.
So less than 1% of students have these concealed carry licenses, but do we have any sense about the numbers beyond them?
You know, no one has really done that kind of cross-reference. There's a lot of sensitivity and not a lot of information that the state's willing to give out as to who actually has these concealed handgun licenses. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's not a public record.
Exactly. So basically, we don't really know. You know, there certainly could be people, faculty, staff carrying on campus. But, you know, if you're following the law, you have to keep the gun concealed. So, you know, in theory, we wouldn't even know when people are carrying.
Right. And you don't have to report to, say, an RA or the dormitory or anything like that if you do have one.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
To get a concealed carry license in Texas, what's involved? Is there training involved?
There is. You have to take a course, and it's, you know, basically a half day or a day long course. You know, gun safety training, you know, I think there's some target practice involved. You know, not anything that's, there's critics who say that it's, you know, not enough training, but there's a little bit of, you know, coursework, classwork that you have to do. You have to go to the target range, things like that.
You said that some lawmakers might tweak the measure next year. How so?
So, as I you know, was describing the process that the universities went through, and basically the of setting the gun-free zones. And what the law says is that you could set these like small little areas where you can't allow guns, but it can't have the cumulative effect of a ban on campus. So basically, you couldn't say like the whole campus except for this little, you know, shack in the middle is gun-free and you can only carry in this place. And so there was a lot of debate, not a lot of clarity as to how far the universities could go. So some lawmakers maybe want to clarify that and, you know, put it into statute that you can't ban guns in classrooms or faculty offices or dorms, things like that. Most universities kind of saw the writing on the wall and saw that that was the intent of legislators. So they didn't want to really risk a lawsuit or, you know, having what little power they have remaining taken away. So I think there might be tweaks to the law to kind of clarify the statute, but it seems unlikely that it will have a large effect on, you know, actually how the law is, you know, affecting campuses. I think most lawmakers are pretty happy with the way things have turned out.
Was there hesitation by university officials to testify against this measure because they rely on the state for funding?
Yeah, Texas is a very interesting place to be a university president because, especially at our urban campuses, you have quite liberal faculty, pretty left-leaning students that, you know, the university presidents have to keep happy. But on the other side, you've got a very, very conservative legislature, which is, you know, controlling, like you said, funding to the universities. So they kind of have to walk this fine line where they, you know, don't really want to upset either side too much. For the campus carry issue, we had the chancellor of the UT system, who is Admiral Bill McRaven, he basically was the architect of the Navy SEAL raid that killed Osama bin Laden. He, I guess, had a little bit of credibility on the issue as someone who's familiar with guns and actually came out against the law, saying he didn't think it was a good idea. At our other kind of big public research university, Texas A&M, the chancellor, John Sharp, said, you know, he didn't have a problem with it. Basically, he said he trusted his students to be safe and do the right thing. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that most university administrators were opposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they were tempered in their opposition. They didn't want to come out too strong. They didn't want to offend the people who were controlling their funding.
What prompted this measure in the first place back in 2015 when it passed? What was there an incident? Did something happen?
No, I mean, in Texas, you know, we like our guns in Texas. In the general electorate, laws that are passed that expand gun rights are pretty popular. So no, there was no shooting. There was no incident. They didn't even really pose this as a safety issue. The lawmaker who authored the bill, a state senator named Brian Birdwell, basically said that he was doing this because he believes that the Second Amendment protects your right to carry a gun in state universities. Public universities, which are part of the government, don't have a right to infringe on that right. And, you know, I mean, it was surprising that it almost didn't pass. It kind of came down at the last minute. But, you know, basically the reason it passed, I would say, is because Texas is a very gun-friendly state.
And three professors at UT Austin have sued to be allowed to ban guns in their classes. How's that going?
That's right. So they're making the claim that they have a First Amendment right of an academic freedom. Basically, the worry is, you know, if you're teaching a sensitive subject and you want to have an open class discussion, some students may not be willing to do that out of fear that someone in their class will have a gun. And if things get heated, it could get dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
They filed in federal court, asked for a preliminary injunction, basically allowing them to ban guns when the law went into effect. The judge turned that down, and the federal judge is now considering a request by the state to dismiss the lawsuit at hand. We should hear something on that pretty soon, but basically we're still in the preliminary stages of that lawsuit.
I can't remember if it was your article or the New York Times wrote about kids kind of getting emotional and stressed out at the thought of a fellow student having a gun in class.
Yeah, I mean, that's been one of the big subjects is, you know, there are professors who teach about religion or, you know, abortion rights that come up or, you know, any other kind of controversial issue. And then on the other side of that, it's just that college is a stressful place. You know, many of the undergraduates coming straight from high school are living on their own for the first time. You know, they have finals, they have tests, and it's just a lot to deal with. So there was definitely some concern that, you know, some incidents could happen, and, you know, whether it was higher risk of suicide because there's guns around or a shooting or something like that, you know, but I think it is worth mentioning that so far that has not happened. The one incident was an accidental shooting.
Well, a lot of parents would say that's exactly what they're worried about.
Sure, absolutely.
But another issue is access to guns. Are there any rules or regulations if you do have a gun in your dorm room, how you store it? Do other students have a right to not live with somebody in a dorm that has a gun?
So it varies by campus. At some campuses, there are specific dorms where guns are allowed and other dorms where they are not. You know, I know that, and there are rules, yeah, that most universities have. They kind of set it on a university-by-university basis. But basically, you know, you can't just kind of leave your gun lying around in your room. You have to keep it locked up. You know, there's also certain rules that universities have discussed about, you know, what kind of a holster you have to have. You know, can you keep a bullet in the chamber of the gun, things like that. But basically, every university is different. And the strictness of their rules varies.
Except that administrators are careful that they don't get so strict that the legislature returns to take away those rights.
That's right.
Private universities can opt out of the law?
Correct. So this was one of the big issues when the bill was passed, is that a Democrat who was opposed to the law actually added in an amendment which would have forced private universities to comply with the law as well. The idea being, you know, basically it's unfair for public universities to allow it and private universities to not. That ended up getting stripped by the at the last minute. And so, yeah, private universities have that opportunity to opt out. And of all the private universities in the state, only one decided to opt in. Basically, at all the private universities, you still can't carry a gun.
I want to take a call right now from Emma in Columbus. Hi, Emma, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm actually a teaching assistant at OSU, and a lot of this conversation, especially after the other week's attacks, has sort of been going through my mind. And part of the dilemma that I have is that, you know, there are a lot of psychological issues, both depression and schizophrenia and other things that tend to pop up in a lot of student age. And my dilemma of being an instructor is that there are students who will get upset, disgruntled, but I really am concerned with the idea that giving more access to guns on campus will just increase the rate of use of guns. As many studies have shown that access to guns is the highest predictor for use of guns.
I'm sorry, highest predictor for what?
For violence with gun use is usually tied to the access to guns.
Mm-hmm. Did that come up, Matthew Watkins, in the General Assembly or the legislature there, that it's a touchy age, a touchy place?
Yeah. Definitely. You know, when this bill was kind of going through hearings and making its way through the legislature, there were hours upon hours of testimony given, a lot from professors who expressed those same concerns. But basically the answer that the legislature gave was, you know, the students have a right to do this. That's what they believed. They have a right to carry their gun, and you know, there are risks involved, but basically the state shouldn't be taking away that right. That was the argument. Mm. But yeah, I mean, the fear among professors was palpable, and you know, I haven't seen a reaction to a state law, you know, quite that really comes close to the reaction that this campus carry law.
Can you give us a sense about where else guns are permitted in Texas? Because in some ways, I kind of thought, well, I was surprised this hadn't been done long ago.
Yeah, well, actually, and that was one of the things that one of the Speaker of the House said. Basically, I think probably a lot of students think they already can bring their guns on campus. I mean, basically, you can take your gun almost anywhere. You know, the same 2015 legislative session where this bill passed, there was also a law passed, basically an open carry law, which basically meant, you know, you don't have to have a concealed handgun anymore. You can, you know, wear it on your hip as you walk around campus. And that also caused a lot of, you know, concern among gun control advocates. You know, you can carry your gun, I mean, pretty much anywhere. You know, you can carry your gun into the, it's funny because in the legislature, there's a long line in medical and metal detectors to actually get in to, you know, see hearings or watch the legislature act. But you can skip that line if you have a concealed handgun license, because basically guns are allowed inside the Capitol. You know, the list would be a lot shorter of where you can't carry your gun, which is basically schools and private property where there's a big sign outside that says you can't carry your gun. Pretty much anywhere else, you're welcome to.
Matthew Watkins, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate your help.
Thank you all. It's been a good discussion.
Okay. Matthew Watkins, he's a higher education reporter at the Texas Tribune. A law similar to the one that's pending in the Ohio General Assembly that would allow concealed carry firearms in colleges and universities, daycare centers, that sort of thing, is went into effect in August in Texas. Coming up, we're going to hear pros and cons on this legislation pending in the Ohio General Assembly. Stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Last week, an effort to end Ohio college and university campus bans on carrying concealed weapons gained momentum after the Ohio State knife and vehicle attack. Now lawmakers are expected today to pass a law that would expand to college campuses and daycare centers and other places the right to carry a concealed weapon. OSU President Michael Drake said he'd rather leave it to the professionals when it comes to handling such issues and other crime on campus. But one proponent of ending the ban told WOSU last week that attacks like that are what inspired him. He said without the right to carry a gun on campus, he said students are like, quote, sitting ducks. Joining us now is OSU student Tarek Undereiner. He is treasurer of the student group Buckeyes for Concealed Carry. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Also joining us is the co-president of Central Ohio Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, Rebecca Flowers. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
Rebecca, President Drake said the attack last week ended in the best possible scenario because a trained officer was on hand to deal with the attacker. But others note that that was just a coincidence because an unrelated fire alarm had brought the officer to the place in the first place, that incident could have been much worse.
Yeah, it could have been much worse. And the scenarios that I think of with that scenario being worse are student vigilantes who want to get involved, have a gun on them, feel that they're trained to use it. You know, it's been said that only a good guy with a gun can stop a bad guy with a gun. And there are good guys with guns, and we call them policemen and women. And they're trained specifically for situations like that. That's what they are there for, and also campus security. So the Brady campaign is really concerned about student vigilanteism, getting involved when they really shouldn't, and making situations much worse than they already are.
Tarek Underreiner, we just heard from a reporter in Texas who said the law there that went into effect in August, it's more limited than this one. It's different, but when it comes to campus security, he said that really wasn't an issue. It was more just about gun rights and not security issues. It hasn't been framed that way in Texas like it has in Ohio.
Well, I would say as far as the vigilante thing goes, it's not really what this bill is geared at. It's more for protecting yourself in off-campus areas when you're commuting to and from campus. So mass attacks like that are statistically very, very unlikely to occur. So the idea of student vigilantes, while it could present potential problems, to even have a mass shooting like that is almost never going to happen. And then to have a student with a concealed handgun in that location, and also a student who happens to have their license happen to be in that situation and decide that they want to use it, I think is a very, very, very small chance of that occurring.
So you are you saying that you kind of agree that that's really not the necessarily the right way to
from a statistical
characterize
standpoint,
this?
Yes, I would say that's not really the purpose of this bill.
Okay. If one or two people had concealed weapons last week, they might have shot the attacker, but how would police know who was wrong when they showed up? Are you concerned at all about that impulse on some people's part to participate in an event, get involved, and then be misunderstood?
I think it's very hard to say retroactively in that situation.
Yeah.
But that being said, I have taken the concealed handgun course here in Ohio, and they do coach us on how to interact with police officers in the event of a shooting. So if you do unfortunately have to end a threat in that manner, you would just set your gun down, put your hands up, step back, and then explain yourself. So I don't think that target misidentification by the police would be a huge issue because we have been trained as to how to interact with police officers.
Okay. Rachel in Columbus, you're on the air. You wanted to talk about concealed carry class you took. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I took the concealed carry class probably about 2 years ago. At the time, it was actually a 12-hour class.
Mm-hmm.
We found out in class a month later it was dropping down to 8.
Right.
And I was with my boyfriend, who is actually a trained marksman in the Army and has won medals. And the CCW class is not enough training for someone to be able to handle a situation like the one at OSU or some of the other situations we've seen in the U.S.
Why do you say that?
Even at 8 and 12 hours, it's very, very basic training for the lowest common denominator. They're assuming that you come in there with zero firearms experience.
Oh, okay.
So some of it is, this is a shotgun, this is a pistol, this is what is an automatic weapon, here's how you load it.
Well, Tarek was saying how they tell you how to respond if a police officer shows up and you're wielding a weapon, what you're supposed to do. I mean, was that clear enough?
They do, but they don't. You get no training on how to respond if you're in a situation like the one at OSU. That's where law enforcement and military go through days and weeks of training, and that training is essential because you're nervous. You're in that situation and you panic. If you're properly trained, you've already acted that out. You've already gone through that panic, and so
okay. You're
calmer and calmer minds prevail.
Okay.
I've talked to military and law enforcement who they agree. They don't think our CCW is enough. And furthermore, we can get a CCW out of state. There are states that just let you register and pay the fee.
And it's
reciprocal in Ohio.
Right, right. Rachel, thanks a lot for that call. Tarek Underreiner, can you respond to that, that the training, it's been reduced now from 12 hours to 8 hours, and it doesn't really necessarily prepare you? If someone's attacking you, are you really prepared to respond to an attack, or is that extra training?
I would like to reiterate that this bill is not geared at ending mass shootings.
Mm-hmm.
So while there might not be training to end mass shootings, again, that's not what the concealed carry
is. Is there training to respond to an attacker at all?
There is defense training as far as the shooting component of the training goes.
In the 8 hours?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Included in the 8 hours is a shooting component. So you practice with shooting with both hands, shooting with your non-dominant hand, shooting one-handed. Because you're not sure in what situation that you would end up having to shoot. Perhaps your hand has been broken, disabled in some way, you can't use it. So you do train with a variety of different shooting techniques, and you are graded on that as well.
I just wanted to say I'm glad that Tarek is talking about the fact that campus mass shootings are extremely rare. This is not what this bill is about. What this bill is about is the NRA. Nobody wants this bill. I sat through 2 days of hearings in the Senate just recently, and we heard from professors, students, faculty. We heard from teachers at daycare centers. We heard from a variety of people who do not want this bill. This is what we're calling a top-down bill.
Tarek's an OSU student. He wants it.
Sure.
Obviously, some people want it.
I've also testified at the Senate committee and created a change.org position asking for an amendment to the bill, which as of last night had over 750 signatures.
And what would the amendment do?
It would negate the opt-in clause for as the bill is currently written. So the universities right now can opt into whether or not they want to allow campus carry. The amendment that I proposed at the State House would negate that opt-in clause.
It would require them.
Yes.
Like Texas. The public universities in Texas are required to allow guns on campus.
Yes. Would it also then require them to have a plan in place for where you could have it, the gun, or would be – are you talking about a blanket requirement? Everywhere on campus.
It would require that the universities not be able to restrict campus carry, but it would be at their discretion as to where exactly that could be allowed. So they could choose to outlaw it in dorms or university.
Okay.
And as a parent, I have to say this is my problem and this is my fear. There are over 135 colleges and universities in Ohio. They have over 700,000 students in them. And as a parent, I would be extremely hesitant and probably would refuse to send my student to a college where her dorm mate, her roommate, her classmate could be carrying a gun. And I am not by any means alone in this. And I think this is one thing that the Senate is not considering right now.
You know, Tarek, what about, you know, we talked earlier in the program, I don't know if you were listening, but just about the age group that we're talking about and the stresses of college and, you know, the partying that some people do in college and just the whole equation of college life. Is it? I know you're probably a really super responsible gun owner and everything, but some people are concerned that maybe not everybody be as responsible and they might.
That is a concern that I have
track.
Heard that I have heard before. But to get your concealed carry license, you have to be 21. So a lot of the college age population are not 21, right? They're underage between the ages of 18 to 20. So if you look at actual statistics based on concealed carry members, they are the most law-abiding demographic in the United States, more so than even our police officers. So, for example, in 2014, less than a tenth of a percent of Ohio licenses were revoked out of 438,000, so less than a tenth of a percent, so 99.9% of them were not revoked. And then research done by Dr. John Lott for licenses between the ages of 21 and 25, which would be the college students most likely to be impacted by this law, did not represent a group whose licenses were revoked at a statistically significant different rate.
Okay.
So I don't think...
I think you're addressing suicides, though, and that's a huge problem. Suicide is still the number one death between for kids of that age group. It's most often done with a gun. And kids that age are impulsive. There's alcohol involved. There's a lot of stress and depression. And that's something that we know is a deadly mix, alcohol, depression, and guns in that age group.
I think suicide is definitely something that we should consider. However, campus carry has no effect on off-campus gun ownership. So if they choose to buy a gun and own it off-campus, there's nothing to stop them from killing themselves off-campus.
But I don't want my kid to be in the dorm room with kids
trying
to commit suicide with a gun.
What about restricting, like, having dorms that are gun-free, that kind of a thing?
I personally, I can't speak to the amendment, but I personally would be all right with that if you choose as a dorm. As long as you give the student an option to live in a dorm in which they can carry their gun, I think that would be acceptable.
Let's take another call. Patty in Dublin, you're on the air. Hi, Patty.
Good morning. I, in approximately 2008, did the concealed carry training, and I did it in Delaware County. The group I was with was 20 women. When we finished, I did not feel the training was adequate at all for this group of women to be purse-carrying guns.
Uh-huh.
A couple of interesting things that were brought up during it. The man who did the training for it suggested that when we were all done and we took our paperwork and went to get the permit, that we not do it in Delaware or Franklin County. He suggested we go to Madison County because it would be easier to get there.
Why is that? In what way?
He didn't say why. He just said it will be easier I don't need to explain why. If you want to have it easy, go there. So, okay. Again, the year was 2008,
so
approximately.
So that might have changed, yeah.
So I don't know if it changed. And then with the training that I was given, the only thing we were trained about as far as interaction with police was if you got pulled over, put your hands on the steering wheel, let the cop know you're carrying or you're not carrying, because he said when the police pull up your license number, they're going to immediately see that the person has a concealed carry permit, and they're going to assume that you're carrying. And he said, so hands on the steering wheel so they can see him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anybody at that time has not been trained as far as interacting with the crowd in a shooting.
Okay.
So if they were to pass this law, are they going to ask people that had the permits in the past that were not trained for anything besides a cop walking up
okay.
to your car?
Well, I mean,
they go back for training?
Okay. Patty, thanks a lot. I get your point, but Tarek Underliner, my guest here from the Buckeyes for Concealed Carry, sort of said that the intent is not necessarily about that, although it has been framed in that way. Tarek, are you concerned about that?
The only thing that comes to mind based off of that last caller as far as going to a different county would be sometimes there is a backlog after you submit your paperwork. It takes several weeks to get a process because a lot of people...
Franklin and Delaware are
yes,
populous
a lot
counties.
Of people do take the course every single weekend. So there is like a waiting time period. So if
okay.
you did want to get it a little bit expedited, you could go to an adjacent county.
Okay.
I think less than 4% of Ohioans have a concealed carry permit. Is that right?
That's
who this is targeting. Their convenience. The convenience of less than 4% of our population. And it's so that they don't have to leave a gun in their car or because there was a convoluted situation presented in the Senate hearing about, oh, if you have to leave one kid in the car and bring your other kid into daycare, I couldn't even follow it. But the idea is we're inconveniencing concealed carry permit holders, less than 4% of our population, and putting at risk a huge number of people.
Well, I would say, as far as the 4% argument goes, that yes, the 4% is about the average percentage of Ohioans who do have their concealed carry.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that there's going to be guns everywhere is a little illogical when only 4% of Ohioans have their concealed carry.
I just want to turn to Dean. Dean, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Dean, we're almost out of time, so I'm asking you to be brief as possible.
I'll be very brief. Enough has been said about the dangers of a mass shooting with pedestrians with handguns. Being a black male, I'm more concerned about a differentiation that I've noticed. I mean, like the in Beaver Creek, which Ohio is a open carry state, when the police came in, that guy was shot immediately, and all he had was an air rifle off the shelf in the store.
You're talking about Tamir Rice.
Yeah, the Tamir
right,
video.
Okay.
I mean, everyone saw that. He was killed immediately. And even if he was an adult with a real gun, he was still illegal. And as a person of color, I am very fearful of this law.
All right, Dean, let me hear. Tarek, any sense about that? I mean, that this could have different consequences for people of color, given the situations that we're covering every day in the news now.
I mean, I myself am a person of color. I'm not African-American, but I am brown-skinned. But like I said before, we did cover police interactions in our CCW training.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really speak to the Tamir Rice case because I believe they've already ruled on that. However, in a lot of these cases, you can hear on the body cams of the police officers asking them to drop the weapon. And when that's not done, then they are fired upon. And like I said, in our training, we were taught after you fire your weapon, you lay it down on the ground, put both hands up.
Okay. And by the way, I'm sorry for confusing people. In Beaver Creek case, it was John Crawford III who was shot in a Walmart store in Beaver Creek. I have to leave it there. There's never enough time. It looks like the Ohio General Assembly is going to approve this measure tonight, and it should head to the governor's office. Governor has not remarked on the bill yet, which usually means he'll probably let it go into law. I want to thank Rebecca Flowers, co-president of Central Ohio Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, for joining us today. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Also, Tarek Underliner, he is an OSU student and treasurer of Buckeyes for Concealed Carry. Thanks to you as well.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to the callers. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.